you're very welcome with us. It's great to see you. Particular welcome if this is your first time with us. Was it Vivian? Have I got that right? Vivian at the back visiting us alongside Roger and Esther. Great to see you guys with us. And nice to have Andrew here as well, alongside his granddad Peter, or Odysseus as I like to call Andrew, as that is his. That's your middle name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Odysseus. Yeah. It's a better name than Andrew, in my opinion. Yeah. And you certainly are one of a kind. Great to also have Jackie with us as well. Great to have you with us too. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to read from verse 1, the parable of the sower. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, they very quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is God's word. Let's ask for his help. Our Father in heaven, please, by your Holy Spirit, would you give us insight and understanding of your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you know what we just did there, just that second, is absolutely crucial. My guess is that at least some of us kind of switched off a little bit when we were praying just then. Because it's something that we just do every week, right? Asking for God's help to understand his word before the sermon starts. We're used to that. It was a normal rhythm. It's kind of like, okay, let's get out that out of the way, and then the sermon really starts. Or when we were singing that song just a few moments ago, Show Us Christ. Again, I guess that at least some of us kind of drifted off a little bit in the song, because we sing that song a lot. We know the tune, we're familiar with the words. It's very easy for us just to kind of sing along, but not really to be thinking about what we're singing, not really to be engaging with those words and praying that prayer, show us Christ for ourselves. But actually, that's absolutely crucial. It's vital. That's the main point of today's passage, which we've just read together. To understand Jesus' words, we need him to give us that understanding. If we're going to get it, if we're really going to get it, not just with our heads, but with our hearts, for us to be gripped by God's word, changed and transformed for our good and for his glory, then we need Jesus to give us that understanding. So what I suggest we do is ask him again. And this time, let's all make sure we've engaged our hearts as we beg for the Lord to show us Christ. Let's pray together. Living Lord God of heaven and earth, the one whose word creates and sustains all things, your word is powerful. It is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And we confess that our hearts are often cold and tough. Get under the surface today, we pray. Plant your word down deep in us. Cause it to bear fruit. Give us understanding. Move us to respond with loving obedience. Show us Christ, we ask, in his name. Amen. To truly understand Jesus' words, we need him to give us that understanding. If we are going to not just hear these words, but really hear these words, we need him to open our ears. That's the big thing that we see in this scene, although actually it's two separate scenes. The first is at the lake, verse 1. You can see there that Jesus goes out of the house and he sits by the lake. That sounds lovely, quite relaxing, nice little sit down by the lake. But he's not just there to chill out. Actually, to sit in a position like that is the classic pose of a teacher. He is a teacher who is ready to give his next lesson. And now Matthew records a different style of teaching. So if you flick down in your Bibles, just have a look down at the headings of the chunks, the ones that are in bold. You'll see that this whole chapter is full of parables. So Jesus is about to teach now using stories. And he's still very popular, despite all of the negative press that he's been getting. We've seen a lot of negative reactions against Jesus, even plots against his life. And yet still, verse 2, Jesus is still so popular that he attracts large crowds, crowds big enough that he has to get into a floating pulpit. He sits in a boat, pushes slightly off the shore. His voice travels out across the water to the crowds that are lined up on the shore. And he tells them this story. It's a familiar one, but just picture the scene with me. I was going to put some pictures up on the screen, but I don't think Jesus had visual aids. Maybe there was stuff going on around him. But he tells a story in such a wonderful way that you can picture it for yourself. So let's read again from verse 3. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, can you see him scattering his seed? Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. It's a nice little farmyard story. But actually, it's more than just a farmyard story. It means more. And that's why Jesus says, verse 9, whoever has ears, let them hear. These stories that Jesus tells in this chapter are described in verse 3 as parables. Parables are stories that sting. Like a bee, they have a sharp point to them, and it's designed to get under your skin. And Jesus is the master of parables. He tells simple stories, or he paints word pictures from everyday life that everyone can understand, but they always have a deeper meaning, a spiritual significance. The parables in this chapter are all about the kingdom of heaven, and in particular, people's responses to the kingdom of heaven. Different responses to the kingdom of heaven. And that fits then, doesn't it, with the theme of this part of Matthew's gospel. In this teaching series so far, in chapters 11 and 12, we have come across a whole bunch of different reactions to royalty. And now this set of parables illustrates what we've just seen happening. Parables are short, sharp stories with a point. That doesn't mean that every last detail of every parable has some sort of deep significance. So when we're reading Jesus' parables, we need to avoid what is known as allegorizing, which is just to say, try to find out and discover and try to think and make up theories about what every last tiny detail of Jesus' story is supposed to signify. That's not what Jesus intended. That can be quite unhelpful. But each story does have a point. It has a deeper meaning. And so he says, verse 9, whoever has ears, let them hear. His listeners, including us today, are invited to listen carefully, to consider the true meaning of this nice little farmyard story. When I was a child, I watched the movie Animal Farm. Has anyone seen this movie? A few nods. It's based on the... Have you seen it, Miracle? You have. Animal Farm. Very cultured of you. It's based on the book of the same name by George Orwell. And when I was watching it, it's a lovely story. It's a farmyard story of these intelligent animals who then take over the farm that they are living on. And the farm is then run by the pigs. The pigs are the ones who are in charge. It's a lovely little farmyard story. And as I was watching this growing up, the significance of this story was completely lost on me. I thought it was just a nice little farmyard story. I've since learned that, of course, it's actually about the Russian Revolution and about Stalinism. George Orwell was writing this to criticize the regime at the time of the Soviet Union at the time that he was writing. It's a story with a meaning. It's not just a nice little farmyard story. On the surface it is, but it actually has a much deeper significance, and it invites careful thought and reflection. The same is true for this familiar story, the parable of the soils, or the parable of the sower, as it's normally known. I mean, all of us probably here in this room, stick your hand up if you've heard the story of the parable of the sower, and you've heard this taught numerous times before. Stick your hand in the air if that's you. Almost everyone, I would imagine, has heard this story. We're familiar with how it goes. It's a familiar story. It's a lovely narrative, but it has a deeper meaning. But the sad thing is many of the listeners just don't get it. Like me as a child watching Animal Farm, they enjoy the nice little farmyard story, but they don't really understand what it means. And we know that because the explanation of this story comes in scene 2. And this time, by this time, the crowds are not there anymore. By now, Jesus is just speaking to his disciples. Verse 10. Have a look down there. This is probably sometime later, after Jesus has finished his teaching from the boat, after scene 1 is over. The crowds have gone home. And now the disciples come to him privately and they say, verse 10, why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus' answer is really interesting. He doesn't say, I speak in parables because it's memorable, or because it's accessible, or because it suits visual learners. Those things are probably true. But actually, there is a more fundamental reason. Verse 11. He replied, why do you speak to the people in parables? Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Jesus says to his disciples, it has been revealed to you that the kingdom of God is here. That mystery has been revealed to you. You have this insider insight. You get it. And the reason that you get it is because you've been given it. But that's not true of everyone, Jesus says. These crowds, they don't get it because they haven't been given it. Like Jesus says back in chapter 11, the Father has hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. The reason that you get it is because you've been given it. A true spiritual understanding is a God-given gift. There is no other way to get it. Verse 12. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So there are two groups here. Some who have been given the secrets of the kingdom and will keep growing in their understanding, and others who don't have it. So in those crowds on that shore, there were two types of people. Those who had been given understanding and those who had not. Verse 13. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. Parables then are a way of dividing the crowd. Jesus' teaching always divided the crowd. Some loved him. Some took offense at him. Some wanted to follow him. Others wanted to kill him. Do you know the same is true today? Some people find the cross of Christ ugly. Others find it beautiful. To some, God's people, Jesus' people, are the aroma of life. To others, we are the stench of death. Jesus' teaching hardens some hearts while it softens others. This same message does both at the same time. And that's what the parables are doing by design. To the disciples, the parables would reveal deep and meaningful truth. To the hard-hearted, they would just be nice little farmyard stories. Or perhaps the hard-hearted would know that this story was supposed to mean something more, but they would never quite get the true understanding. Jesus teaches in parables to present the truth in a veiled way, in a way which confirms the hard-heartedness of those who reject him, but draws in those who've been given true, God-given understanding. The exact same story will be listened to and then dismissed or ignored by some with hard hearts, but at the same time it will bring understanding to those whom Jesus reveals it to. So as Jesus teaches in parables, it's actually part of his judgment on his hearers. Take a look at verse 14. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. Hear with their eyes? That's not right. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Do you know we're in a spiritual battle? And part of the spiritual battle is that it's a warm day. So, Peter, do you think you could just open that back door, and could we open those windows a bit wider as well? You thought I was just going to run out there, didn't you? Just run away. Anyone want a... I've got one bottle of water if anyone's particularly sleepy. If no one takes it, I'll spray it all over you. This is the splash zone. I'm not surprised. This is the whole point of this talk, is that The devil, we have an enemy who would love to snatch away the word of God. So don't let him. Fight back against him, all right? So we've just read this passage from... In fact, actually, let's pray again, shall we? That's the whole point of this talk. Let's do that. Father in heaven, again, we need your help. We need to understand your word and for it to be planted down deep in us. And we can't do that unless you give that understanding to us. But we pray against the devil's attack who would love to distract us from your words. And we pray, Father, that you, by your spirit, would open our eyes to see what this part of your word really means. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So this part of Isaiah here, Isaiah 6, verse 9 and 10, which is quoted here in Matthew 13, verse 14 to 15, this shows that actually the way that Jesus is teaching in parables is part of his judgment on his hearers. The prophet Isaiah was called to a difficult ministry. God had told him that as he preached, his words, rather than bringing people to repentance, his word would actually harden the hearts of the listeners as they heard his message. Imagine if you were a preacher of God's word and that was your ministry. Go and harden the hearts of those who hear. But actually, that's part of what is happening here with Jesus. It might seem strange to us, but actually one of the purposes of faithful gospel teaching is to harden the hearts of the hard-hearted. That is part of what God's word actually achieves. As well as bringing life to some, it brings death to others. Which, by the way, is one reason that we shouldn't measure our evangelistic success on how many people are saved, but on how faithful we've been. As Jesus teaches in parables, he is concealing the truth from those who don't have the eyes to see and don't have the ears to hear, but he is revealing it to those who do. Who are the ones that do? People like his disciples, who would come to him and ask for understanding. And that puts them in a really privileged position. Take a look at verse 16. Jesus said, "But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it." Jesus says it's true that lots of people are blind and deaf and hard-hearted, but not you. I speak in parables, and lots of people just don't get it, but you do. And the reason that you get it is because you've been given it. You are blessed. The people of the past, they would have loved to hear the royal son revealing the truth of the kingdom. They didn't get to, but you do. If you are someone this morning who has met Jesus and understands that he is the royal son, you are blessed. If you have that insider insight, you are blessed. If God has given you understanding of his words, you're blessed. Of course, you might not understand every last thing that you read in your Bible. It's long, it's complicated. There are difficult things to understand. But if by his Spirit, God has revealed to you something of the truth of his word, something of the truth about Jesus, you are really blessed. If he has shown you that you are a sinner, if he has shown you that you have rebelled against God and that you deserve his eternal judgment in hell, it doesn't sound like a good thing to be told, but actually, if that has been revealed to you, you're in a blessed position. And if he has shown you the Savior, if he has revealed to you that Jesus is the perfect Son of God who lived the life that you could never live and died to pay the price that you could never pay and rose again to give you the life that you could never earn. Do you know, most people, they just don't get it. They don't understand those life-giving, life-changing truths. But if you do, you are blessed. And if he has shown you that you are not clever, if he has shown you that it is not about your understanding, but simply about his revelation of your truth, then you are blessed because you have received this. It has been given to you. The reason that you get it is because you've been given it. If God, in his great mercy, has broken down the hardness of your heart, if he has opened your eyes and unblocked your ears, then you are truly blessed. Praise God. And this is what is happening for the disciples. The Lord was slowly but surely opening their eyes to see who he is, growing their understanding of him. He prompted them not just to go home with the crowds after a nice little farmyard story, but instead in verse 10, to come and ask for understanding. They ask, and Jesus gives. He explains the true meaning of the parable to them. Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The seed is the word. The soils are the different types of hearers of the word. And over the last couple of chapters, we have seen a different array of reactions to royalty. This is an illustration of that. This is what we can expect as we here in Edmonton seek to share the gospel with others. Different responses to the word of God. I wonder, can you think of someone who fits in each of these descriptions? Can you think of someone you know, maybe it's yourself, who the word won't even penetrate? The devil comes and snatches it away before it even sinks in. Can you think of someone who responds immediately to God's word? It's exciting, things seem great, but then trouble trips them up. Can you think of others who become so distracted by the things of life that the word never bears the fruit that it should? Notice each one hears the word, but what's the difference with the good soil? Is there in verse 23? Someone tell me. What's the difference with the good soil? Say it again. Understanding, exactly, right? It bears fruit because it understands. All of them hear the word, and yet verse 23, the good soul is the one who hears the word and understands it. Hearing plus understanding. There are four types of soil, but actually there are only two types. The ones that don't bear a crop and the one that does. To receive God's word, for God's word to take root and bear fruit, requires not just hearing, but hearing plus understanding. And this isn't just understanding with our heads. Notice in verse 15, it's described as understanding with our what? Verse 15, understanding with our hearts. Who here has a Bible in front of them? Take a look down in verse 15. It's right there, okay, right at the end of verse 15. Understanding with our what?
Hearts.
Thank you, Chloe. It's not just understanding with our heads, but with our hearts. The heart is the seat of our emotions and our affections, our desire, our will. The heart is the core of us. The heart is the place where we decide what we love, what we will pursue, what we will do. So to understand with our hearts includes understanding in our heads, but it's more than that. It's talking about the type of understanding which takes hold of us and moves us, an understanding which grips our hearts and shapes our lives. It's when God's word sinks down to the core of you. It's when the Holy Spirit grabs you and changes you and transforms you. That's the kind of understanding that Jesus is after. And that's why I'm wrestling with you today and getting you to answer me. Because I'm not content for you just to hear these words and to let it sink in and then go away. Only by the Spirit can we truly understand what God has done for us in our hearts. And so we mustn't be content to be like the crowds who just turned up at the lakeside, had a nice little story, and then went home. When you open up your Bible, when you come to church, does the message of Jesus flow into your ears and into your head? but then leave again without touching your heart? Do you just turn up to the talk and then go home without it grabbing you? It should be a warning sign to us if we become desensitized to the cross. When I was growing up, I grew up in South London. At the bottom of our very short garden was a busy set of train tracks. Every few minutes, a huge passenger train would hurtle by, shaking the house. It was that close and that loud. And every time that we had friends visiting, they would be so excited. In fact, Riss remembers this. We were childhood friends. It's cute, isn't it? They would occasionally visit our house as a family, and they would be so excited to see the trains rattling past the windows so close. We hadn't even realised that it had happened. We'd blocked it out. It had become so regular, so often, that we didn't even realise it was happening. We talk about the cross and the resurrection every single Sunday. I wonder, have you become desensitized to the glory that God died for you? Has that become a truth that you just know in your head? Or will you wrestle with God week after week, asking him, begging him for that truth to soften your heart and to make your heart sing? Parables are stories that sting. They are designed to get under our skin, but like the tough skin on the bottom of your feet, our hearts can become calloused. The devil would love to put up barriers so that even when God's word comes into our ears and into our heads, it never penetrates our hearts. You see, I can work hard at opening windows and getting you to interact and shouting at you until you will listen to me, but that will only make God's word go into your ears. I think I can manage that. And maybe into your heads, I might be able to explain things and you can understand them intellectually. But actually, I am totally incapable of causing that truth to sink into your hearts. That is something that only God the Holy Spirit can do. Please don't be content with intellectual understanding without worshipful adoring. Don't be content with information without transformation. To be fruitful soil. To be good hearers of the word, hearing is not enough. We need to hear and understand with our hearts. How? Well, as we've already seen, this understanding is not something that is discovered by us, but given to us. So what do we need to do? Someone tell me. What do we need to do? Pray. We need to ask, right? Ask Jesus. That's what the disciples do. The chapter starts with scene one, Jesus on a boat, speaking in parables to the crowds on the shore. But there are two times in this chapter where we cut to a different scene. Two times that the disciples ask for insider insight. Two times that they are not content with just the story. They really want to know what it means. The first we've already seen in verse 10. And then the private explanation from verse 18, which follows. But it happens again in verse 36. Flick forward to verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Explain to us. To understand Jesus' words, we need him to give us that understanding. And so, like the disciples, we need to ask for it. Like he said in verse 12, whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. So even if you have just a grain of God-given understanding, you can ask him for more and he will give you loads. That's the only way to be the fruitful soil. Otherwise, it's all too easy to be like those other soils. We have an enemy who would love to snatch the seed away before it even sinks in. We have an enemy who would love to trip us up with trouble and persecution or choke us with weeds of worries and wealth. There are going to be all sorts of reactions to royalty. Lots of those responses are not good ones. That's to be expected. But every time that Jesus scatters the seed of his word, don't you want to be the good soil ready to receive it? For that to happen, we need to ask. We need to ask God to give us the understanding that only he can give. So here's a simple prayer that you can pray every time that you open up God's word. Please never open up God's word without asking God for help. It would be pointless. Here's a simple prayer that you could pray. Help me understand with my head and with my heart. I've made that as short as possible so that we can learn it and remember it and pray it. Why don't we say it a few times together, shall we? Help me understand with my head and with my heart. If you do the actions, it might help you to remember it even more. Help me understand with my head and with my heart. Help me understand with my head and with my heart. That's a simple prayer you can pray every time you open up the word. You can make it longer if you want. You can say, risen Lord Jesus, by your spirit, help me to understand with my head and help me understand with my heart so that it grips me and help me to then do what you call me to do with my hands. So you can extend it if you want, but just keep it simple if you can't remember all of that. Let's try it one more time together. Help me understand with my head and with my heart. That would be a great prayer to pray for yourself. It's also a prayer we need to pray for unbelievers that we know. As we seek to share the good news with non-Christian friends and family members, for them to grasp the truth of Jesus, it's not going to be because of our great example or because of our clever words and our arguments. It's going to take the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit because these things are spiritually discerned. Help them understand with their head and with their heart. Ask God to give you understanding as you open up his word. And particularly on a Sunday, can I encourage you to make this a big prayer? Because Sunday is a day where we gather like we are today as a church family to hear God's word. Every time the word is preached, seed is scattered over a variety of soils. And without the help of Jesus, it will never bear any fruits. And so we meet to pray every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in that back room. It is a great way to start the day as we express our dependence on God and ask for the Lord Jesus to be at work through his word, knowing that we're going to face opposition, we're going to face distractions, we're going to face an enemy who would love to snatch away the word of God. And so we need to get on our knees and plead with God, help us understand with our heads and with our hearts. Please will you join us for that prayer meeting if you can. I know you can, some of you. You could come at 9:30. So come and beg with God each week. Help us understand with our heads and with our hearts. I know for some that is not possible. It's not possible to get here at 9:30. It's even sometimes a struggle to get here at 10:30. But even if you can't make the prayer meeting, can I encourage you to try to come to church early? Just a few minutes early. Again, I know that is difficult for some. I don't want to be insensitive to your life circumstances that make that impossible. But there are others of us probably who could get here a bit earlier. And I think that, you know, it's not a law, but I just wonder whether if we rush in just on time or a few minutes late, that's not often the best way of preparing our hearts to receive God's word. There are always distractions going on. We're maybe hectic and stressed from trying to get here on time. We've missed out on some of the worship, which is also a word ministry. We've missed out on God's word that has been shared, like Patrick did at the beginning. We've missed out perhaps on the prayer. So why not aim to get here a few minutes early, before 10:30, and take a few moments before the service starts to ask God to give you the understanding to engage with his word throughout the service. I think that would be a brilliant way of preparing our hearts to be good soil to receive God's word. I was really encouraged earlier this week to get a phone call from Karen. Many of you will know Karen. She's a member here at this church. She's not always able to be here at the service in person, but she does join us online when she can't be here. And she was calling me to say that she was really missing the sermon discussion groups. As you might know, after church lunch each week, we have Sunday streams, and there's often an opportunity for us to chat through what we've been hearing in the sermon. And Karen had this idea. She said, even when I'm not able to be there in person, can I give you a video call? Can I join in with that conversation? Because I really want to learn. I often have questions, and I want to understand what I'm hearing. I love that. She's not just ticking a box by listening to a sermon and saying, okay, I've heard God's word this week, that's done. She's not content just to be hearing God's word. She wants to understand it with her head and for it to take hold of her heart and transform her life. That's a brilliant attitude. Friends, any understanding that we have is a gift from God. It is a wonderful blessing. So let's keep asking him for a growing understanding of his word. And we're going to do that now by singing that same song again, the song that we sang before the sermon. But hopefully this time round, there's some more meaning to it, having heard what we've heard, and we can really pray this prayer for ourselves as we stand to sing. Prepare our hearts, O God, not just for the word that we've heard today, but we can make this a prayer more generally, that every time we open up God's word, every time we come together to hear God's word in this setting, God would be at work causing his word to be planted and to bear that fruit like the good soil. So if you're able, please do stand and let's really pray this from the heart as we sing together.